Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's talk about what is happening up in the stars above. And oh, there's my hold on, everybody. That lag always gets me. Welcome to Living Astrology. And today we have a lot to talk about, and we're also going to find time to do some readings for people that we haven't gotten to do in the last week or so. And we're going to start right in this morning with talking about what is coming up for the weekend. Today's Friday, so we have today, we have tomorrow, and we have Sunday. And while it's not a particularly daunting weekend, there are some important things happening in the sky that we want to be aware of. So let's dive in. I can see Amy already. Good morning to you, sweetie. Good to see you. And you might see my new friends in the background here, Heckle and Jekyll, I'm calling them. My husband had this idea about getting a tapestry to put up on the wall because he likes black lights, and he put a black light in the overhead lamp. So at night when we turn the black light on, whoa, it looks really awesome. During the day, it doesn't look so awesome. And then I realized, wow, my head is right in the middle of the wall. So no one's really going to see Heckle and Jekyll except if I do that. So there we have it. And it's really sad, everybody. I have mixed emotions today because it is the last day of my husband's furlough. On Monday, he returns to work. On one hand, that makes me extraordinarily happy because it feels sort of like normality is being reestablished. And my time might be more of my own and I can get some things done that I haven't been doing while he's been home. And on the other hand, OMG, I am going to miss him something terrible. He makes me breakfast. He's there to support everything that I do. And it's going to be a while before we get to see each other, you know, in a long period of time. It'll be until the weekends, right? Not that I don't see him during the day or, you know, in the morning, in the evening. It's just that his days are long. So anyway, on one hand, like I said, happy, and on the other hand, a little sad. And anyway, so life returning to some sort of normal while other people in other states' lives are becoming upended. In this state, we are also still seeing some rising cases, but not to the extent that the southern states are seeing. And that makes me feel good about the decisions our governor made about keeping us safe. It makes me feel good that you know, we followed science and practical applications of things, and we're winning that sort of battle, if you will, against that virus. Now, let's change over to the weekend's energy. Today, we have the moon in Pisces, and it is going to be moving into the void. It's been here for a couple of days, so you know you're anticipating almost that we're going to move into the void, and indeed we will this evening at 8:49 p.m. West Coast time until 10:05 p.m., kind of a short one, maybe an hour and 10 minutes or so. And after that, the moon will move into Aries, and there is where some of the fireworks begin for the weekend. So this evening, we'll be contending with the moon having moved out of the more tranquil, intuitive energy of Pisces and into the more fiery, expressive energy of Aries. Now, ideally, there isn't a problem with that, but when you think about what's in Aries and how Aries is positioned in a challenging square to both Cancer and to Capricorn, and we have planets in both those signs, you can see that maybe there is some tickling of tension underneath the surface for the weekend. But let's talk about Friday first, since it's Friday. Today we have, again, I said, the moon in Pisces. It is in a conjunction to Neptune. That happens relatively early in the day. Let's see, right as I drew up the chart this morning, the moon had already passed by 1 degree the planet Neptune. So we're already in this ideal area of being intuitive and spiritual, more compassionate, more inclined to be universally loving. And now the moon has moved on and it's approaching a sextile, also a positive transit in your chart, to Jupiter, Pluto, Pallas Athena, and Saturn, all in the sign of Capricorn. So we have some good energy here in our deconstruction, reconstruction buddies. We might be able to see a path forward, right? Like me today, sitting here going, wow, maybe there's some normalcy coming, right? So we can see that out of that sort of 3 month destruction time, that now there's this possibility. It's actually been longer than that. It's been a year and a half of this destruction, that maybe this possibility is that we can reconstruct, we can rebuild, we can regenerate now. So that feels hopeful. That feels more optimistic. But I was thinking about something this morning, and I kept thinking about how the timing, right, that my husband going back to work after on Sunday when Mercury turns back to direct. And it wasn't Mercury turning retrograde that caused the furlough. I mean, that wasn't part of it. But I'm wondering about Chiron in this whole thing. And I'm really wanting to go back and see if I can't find a chart for the coronavirus to see where Chiron is in that. It's going to be in Aries. We know that. And what part did that play in all of this whole coronavirus thing? And today we have Chiron that is in a sextile to Venus. It's actually today and tomorrow. And then tomorrow Chiron turns retrograde. So we have Chiron popping up here. And over the next rest of this month, Chiron, Mars, and Mercury all squaring one another. And that's creating some activity around wounding and healing. And what I was thinking about this morning is the trials and tribulations that have popped up because of the virus, the things we are struggling with, right? Our personal rights versus the rights of a community or the state or the government, the federal government versus the states. There's a lot of this jostling around, I think, about freedoms that this just one little teeny weeny virus has brought up in our consciousness. And remember back in the astrology of 2020, as we talked about what Chiron was going to be bringing to the table for the next 7 years, one of the biggest themes was interconnectedness. I'd totally forgotten that. And so as this, I'm thinking about this morning, I'm thinking interconnectedness and how that pits us against the individual and against codependency. So independence, interconnectedness or interdependence, and codependence, all of those kind of energies. You know, Libra being the opposite sign of Aries, it's natural that those themes would sort of be playing into all of this. And, you know, we have the people on one side who refuse to wear masks, who think their freedoms are being walked on. But what they don't understand is that is in a juxtaposition to what's best for society at large, right? What's best for the most number of people, an Aquarian theme. So we're sort of sitting here at this very tender edge between our old reality and this new reality. And some of the people who are in resistance to wearing masks or being in the stay-at-home orders or, you know, doing the things that we need to do to you know, take our time getting this virus cleaned out of our awareness, they're fighting against this idea of interconnectedness, of interdependence, that, you know, they have this almost maverick. It reminds me of the freaking Wild West, right? Where every man for himself, and you could just take out your gun and shoot and point and shoot, and there was, you know, really no repercussions. And, you know, a lot of people, at least in this country, USA, have this feeling of that independent spirit and that maverickness. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we aren't a country of only 100,000 people. You know, we have 300 million people, 350 million people here who all have these needs that need to be met and are all needing to point ourselves in the direction of interdependence and interconnectedness. And I think that's one of the biggest healing themes that can inspire us as we move on, because we're healing ourselves in this process through our relationships with one another and realignment then of the values that we have, right? This is Chiron in a sextile to Venus. It should be a pretty easy thing for us to see that we have to rearrange something, that our thinking has to change, our physical distancing has to change, the way that we work in the world changing, right? All of that changing. So a realignment of our values, and then we're also contending with the financial ramifications of that, right? So we'll have to realign our idea of abundance. And we took a stab at that yesterday by looking at what did super abundance mean in the Gate 53. And we had a great discussion about all of that yesterday and how fear has played this role in everything that we've done on this planet. So we could say perhaps these maverick people are afraid, they have a fear of losing their personal rights or losing their freedom. And maybe the people on the other end are afraid of you know, being trampled on by these maverick type people. We have to get out of that fear field and we have to look at what's best for the greatest number of people. What makes sense? What's practical? What takes us into the future? So all of these themes are playing on us or with us in this particular weekend, and maybe not in your conscious mind. It might just be behind the scenes. And of course, that's where I go. I go to the unconscious. Let's pull it all out and let's lay it on the table so we can see all the crap and what we need to do in order to work through it. So that is literally where we are today. Right? We're pulling out all the stuff. We're looking at all these different relationships. We're looking at the possibility of healing. Not only, well, only you can heal you, right? That's even a healer, as in a doctor or a healer, is only allowing your own body, spirit, mind, and emotions to do the work on your own self, right? They're not actually the miracle workers. You are, right? We each are our own miracle workers. So we have this opportunity right now to really look at that. And what kind of miracles do we want to bring to the table? What kind of miracles do we want in our own lives, right? It's a miracle to me. Our second car is finally fixed. It's working beautifully. And it was funny because my intention was that we would not spend more than $3,000 on this car. And it came in total for everything, less than $2,800. So I'm looking at intention now. What does that mean? And how are we creating our reality based on that intention? What if I had said I didn't want to spend more than 20 or 2,500 on it? Would it have been more like 2,200? So I'm like, oh, I don't know. I just want to sit with that and go, okay, so that, you know, powerful of an intention and how we manifest is really of high importance in my world at the moment. And I believe it's also a part of everybody else's reality at the moment. So here we go, right? Let's look at the Pleiadian Earth energy for the weekend real quickly. Today is 6, self-regulating. Remember, 6 is the energy of flow, right? And when we meet up with an obstacle, a seemingly immovable obstacle, what do? We go over it, we go around it, we go under it, we go in a whole new direction. That is the power of flowing energy, right? We don't allow obstacles. They may pull us up and stop us for a moment until we find the line of least resistance and we follow that. And then we get ourselves around whatever that resistance was or whatever that obstacle is. So today, self-regulating energy, by the way, on the earth side of this is the energy of Etznab in the Mayan astrology, which was that obsidian knife. And the idea here was to be able to go in with surgical precision, if you will, and cut away all that is no longer serving you. So isn't that an interesting comment on the day today, right? Being able to go in and dig out what is no longer serving you and what is, you know, not in your highest and best. What is it that you would like to, what could you make space for in your energy field? Right? So if you've been focusing a lot on irritation or anger or upset over something, what could you create more space for if you let go of that anger and that upset, right? Make space for more love, make space for more fun, make space for more, you name it, right? So we're the ones with the surgical strike here. We are the ones with that obsidian knife or with the flint knife that can go in and cut away what no longer serves us. Saturday's energy is 7 catalyzing, and that is 7 remembers our portal, our halfway point through the cycle. So we're standing, teetering on the edge of that evolution, right? Everything before is preparing us to that evolve. Now we're at the evolve part, right? We start on that spiral up, even though the whole thing has been a spiral up, we get that sort of catalyzing energy, that push for us to move up. Catalyzing energy in the Mayan calendar was Kuayak. Quiac represented the thunderstorm or the major storm that basically clears the air, right? It cleans everything. It purifies everything. It changes up the energy. So Saturday is a changing up the energy kind of day. And we are at the precipice where we choose, where do we go from here, right? Do we evolve along the lines of the week's energy, or do we hold ourselves back, wait for the next run of the spiral? And Sunday comes to the heart energy, right? Eight energy, our connection, heart to heart, spirit to human. And it is enlightening energy. That is the last day, earth energy day of the Pleiadian calendar. And it is a how. So a how was a very bright day. It's a day to bring community together and in mutual enlightenment. And we'll see how that's going to play out in the rest of the energies for the day. Let me go over here quickly to YouTube and say good morning to everybody who's showing up here. Joshua, good morning. And Jessica Morgenthaler, good morning. It's good to see you. I think I might have seen you before out here. I'm not sure, but if not, welcome. We love to have new people here. And Amanda J, hello, everybody. Debbie, good morning. Debbie, okay, I'm putting your name down. I will be doing readings. But please don't everybody barrage me right now because I need to get everything I need to say done. But thanks, Debbie, I got you. And hit the like button, she says. I love that. Amanda J says, "Ah, Valerie, good morning. He is a gem. Oh my gosh, he is. You remember yesterday through all of the crazy things I was telling you, sharing with you all about my Mystic Moon experience. Well, he was my rock through that whole thing. He stuck by my side. He did not do what he sometimes does, which is go to an extreme. He stayed very Libran level, right? He stayed very level for me. And I needed that so badly because I was emotionally up and down. So he is a gem. I'm never giving him away. J-Lo, good morning. Deborah Johnson, good morning. Allison, good morning. Valerie says, tickling of tension. Gonna use that phrase as needed. I like that one. I have another great one for you today too. This one I have to say I stole from someone I was reading online, and it was about Mars unleashed. And wow, is that gonna play a role as we move further on into the summer. So I loved that phrase too. You'll hear me use it this morning. Destiny and Asa, nice to see you. Mimi, great to see you this morning. She's at the gallery today. Yay. So the gallery's open and you're getting to do what you love. I like that. Joy Ann, Pholus was conjunct the South Node when the big old stay at home launched in Canada. And she says there is a lot of suspicion that is being face masked, unmasked. You know, it's interesting too that one of my thoughts around those kinds of theories is that they're still based in fear. And that's the problem, right? If we're not listening to what the mainstream is saying, then we're looking at a conspiracy theory. And so we have conspiracy theory on one hand, we have mainstream media on the other hand, all of that basing in fear. So what we have to do is let them all go, get all of them out of your face, and come back to what is true for you. And what is true for us, at least here in our state, is the face mask order. So we go with that flow for right now, because it is what is right now, right? I'm not going to fight against something that makes sense to me. If it didn't make sense to me, I would choose to just stay home and never go out, and I wouldn't have to wear a face mask, which I do like. I like that idea too. And Joanne also says, Chiron, or is it between Saturn and Uranus? So melding those energies, there's that too. A lot of blending. And Kamal, good morning. Good to see you. Tati, good morning. And Deborah Johnson, I have problems with trust. We are told one thing and the leaders do the opposite. So who and what do we trust? Exactly, your own intuition. Perfectly said. And Jessica, I used to be Hughes. Oh, you've done readings. Jessica Hughes. Great to see you. You must have gotten married, or you went back to your maiden name maybe, or what? Let me know. And Joshua says, yes, Deborah. So we have a lot of really good ideas going on here. And this is why this group is so important, right? We can all cherish one another's opinions or ideas or inspirations. You know, no one is, beating up anybody for what they think or what they believe. We kind of use it as a sounding board and a way to see things differently. And that's the way, this energy is what we really need out in the world. So we need so much less division and polarization, and so much more respect and camaraderie so that we can really come to a meeting of the minds about what is going on, but we don't have that. And you went back to your maiden name, gotcha. So we really need more of that. So the more that we, even in our differing opinions and our differing ideas, can come together and be, you know, open to one another, then that could be happening on a bigger scale too. And the only reason it isn't is because we haven't demanded that that be the way that it should be, that that is the way that we want it. We have to choose, right? Choose. Okay, so carrying forward here, I want to go into Saturday. Saturday, the moon is in Aries, right? That's what this void, of course, will do for us this evening, moves us into the moon in Aries. The moon in Aries is assertive. She is bold. She is conflicted. She's confrontational. She is the divine feminine in a bit of a snit, and wanting to, you know, affect change and make things happen. And tomorrow she will be in a square to Mercury, in still in retrograde on Saturday, and into a conjunction with Mars, right? She falls right into the arms of Mars, and then also into a sextile with Venus. So we have some irritation energy, we have some smoothing energy, and we also have some energy of looking backwards, right? This tomorrow will be our last full day of Mercury in retrograde, the last opportunity for us to really look backwards and see from that perspective of the past what we might need to let go of and move forward into. So tomorrow is that cuspy sort of day of that change with the moon for the next few days. And at the same time, Chiron turns retrograde tomorrow. Now, Chiron, an outerish planet that will spend a good 5 months in retrograde indeed until December 15th. And he will also come into a conjunction with Mars, because he's already passed Mars. So we have that first conjunction. Now he'll retrograde back into Mars, and Mars is still moving forward. They're going to collide. And also that sextile with Venus. So here is a time for us to look inward and to reassess, if you will, our wounds, our healing path. And indeed, sort of that thing started happening with me even yesterday as I got my blood results back, and I was pissed off and mad, mostly at myself, not at the, you know, results, but, you know, how I have allowed myself to get to this position that I'm in. And then with Chiron turning retrograde, it's time to reassess and a time to heal, right? A time to heal. And part of that healing in Aries that rules the physical body is getting healthy, returning to a healthy lifestyle. It's been so easy over these last 3 months to eat the cookies my husband's fixing, to eat the cake he's fixing. And I know I'm not supposed to do any of that, but it's there, right? And we're stuck at home. So what do we do? Well, what do? I did. I ate everything that he made. So it's time for me to get healthy. It's time for all of us to get healthy, but not just in the physical, also in the mental, emotional, and the spiritual realms, where wherever it is that we still have things that are pushing our buttons, those are where we need to work with healing energy. So that's also part of the Chiron retrograde that we're falling into here. Now, I wanted to bring up something very interesting. Yesterday, we got into a conversation around opinions, right? The gate 17 and how opinions work. Well, isn't it interesting to note that Chiron is retrograde for, and until March of 2021, we'll be sitting at the gate 17, right? Along with Mars, who's there now, which is what brought this up for us, right? Mars, our conflict, our confrontational energy being spouted out of us in forms of opinions, and how that can be such a negative blowback at us, right? As people don't like to hear your opinions unless you've been invited to share your opinion. And now we have Chiron looking, and he's been there for a while. I hadn't noticed what gate he was in, but he's sitting at the gate 17 until March. And that's still a long ways away. We have a lot of time, a lot of experiences between now and then that are going to take us into the gate 17. So again, here we are, the gene keys. Whenever I get my own self feeling conflicted about something, where as an astrologer, something's not quite making sense, right? Chiron, Aries, themes, I go to the gene keys, because it looks at things through many different levels. And I wanted to share something with you. The name of the gene key 17 is called the I. This is just in the Gene Keys book, right? Remember, it is the shadow of opinion. In the gift level, it is farsightedness, right? The ability to see down the road, to see bigger picture. And then in the city, get this, omniscience, right? The all-seeing eye, right? The programming partner of this particular gene key is the 18, which is the gate of judgment and perfection. The shadow there is judgment. The gift is integrity. And the city is perfection. So there's something here for us to really look at, because in this is the gate, literally, or the gene key that pulled us away from the reality of our interconnectedness with all life. And so this is the one that we really look, it looks to me as if we're having to really work on this right now, right? This energy right now. So I wanted to read something here to you from Richard Rudd's book, The Gene Keys, down on page, what page am I on? 119. Down at the bottom, it says, in other words, the shadow of opinion is programmed to look for flaws in the outer world, in society, in people, and even in oneself. When a flaw is discovered, it becomes the seed for an entire worldview, and a whole story is built up inside the mind of that individual. The projected flaw, which is always based on some form of comparison, becomes the point of focus for all that dissatisfied energy coming through the 18th shadow. This is how human opinions form. They crystallize around a single projection, which is born of early conditioning. And thus, over time, a molehill turns into a mountain. And there's something, problems occur when your dissatisfaction begins to identify with an opinion and then turns it into a dogma. Ooh, gotta watch that one, don't we? And your opinions sprout from seeds planted at some point within your first 7 years. The 17th shadow governs the way in which huge numbers of people view the world. On a collective level, this shadow has created the world we see around us today. It has categorized humanity into boxes, countries, religions, and hierarchies based on a left brain view of the world. Almost every aspect of our society is based upon division, comparison, and opinion. Most human beings make decisions on the strength of what the left brain tells them without regard for the long-term effects on the greater environment. Do you think that's a call to change? Right? I think it's a huge call for us to change, that to move out of that shadow of opinion and up into that beautiful energy of farsightedness, being able to see beyond the tip of your nose, right? Looking out at the bigger field. And what does that mean for all of us? How do you fit into the grander scheme of things? Now, not only is Chiron sitting there triggering the wound and asking for healing, right? Triggering us to heal all of that within us. You heal it here first, because you can't change what other people do. You can only heal here and then watch as those people open up and change themselves in that process. Now, here's where we have a word about Mars and where I got this Mars unleashed. It occurred to me this morning that for the next several weeks, Mars is going to be sitting at some very interesting gates in your human design. We call them red flag gates. Red flag, right? Ooh, watch them. And they're important gates because of the nature of the shadows associated with them. So right now, Mars is sitting at the gate 17, that energy of moving from opinions that have created dogmas on this planet that have got us stuck in this polarization, this division, this, you know, idea of conflict and confrontation, and giving us the opportunity at this point to morph that, right? Change that. Unleashing something different within us to be able to move through that and heal that. Next week, Mars will move to the gate 21. In fact, you know what? Let me show you the human design chart for this. One moment while I go get that. Just got to remember where I put it this morning, because, you know, I did it just before we got on. There we are. Okay, now let me go and share the screen with all of you. Okay, So what you're going to see is the human design chart of the moment. This was from this morning. We see our sun and earth at gate 5354 that we talked about yesterday. And down here we see where Mars is at gate 17. This chart does not show Chiron, but the gate 17 is right here in the Ajna. So you know all of a sudden that we're dealing with the mind. Right? Our opinions are firmly rooted in what we think of as certainty, what we think of as truth. Those of you who have a defined Ajna have certainty, and you're the hardest headed ones to be able to see differently, right? But you were designed with that, right? There's something about the way that you're thinking that is for you to really work with in this lifetime. Those who have it open are being subjected to a whole lot of different truths and a whole lot of different certainties that you can try on for size, but you're never really meant to have a full certainty. So we would say you're the more open-minded and the more affected by the people in the world that have certainty. And neither one of these things is right or wrong or good or bad. That is not what I'm suggesting here. We need both, right? We have to have both. So certainty here and the gate of opinions, then this can be a gate that can create some problems. And Mars sitting there is that red flag. Chiron sitting here is also that red flag. Next, Mars will move down here to the gate 21. And the gate 21 is called the gate of control. And it's on the ego center, the will center, the heart center, sometimes this is called as well. And in this particular center, we have competition. We have trying to best other people, trying to keep up with the Joneses is what I sometimes think of this energy as. So we'll have to look at our control issues over the next couple of weeks and how others are controlling us, because there's both the controlled and the controllers. And I can see how this is already going to play into some of those states that may have to lock down some more with the virus going on. I just see that one is going to be this other conflict erupting out there. Then after that, Mars will move to the gate 51, another red flag gate here on the ego center or will center called the gate of shock. This is a gate where we don't mess around with. The energy here is initiating some kind of change that moves us back toward universal love. And often it is the house falling upon your head, to quote the Wizard of Oz, right? The house fell on the witch. Well, that wakes us up and, you know, breaks the spell or the reverie that we've been in. So we're looking at Mars providing some form of initiation, yes, but often coming through a shock. The energy in that gate is agitation. Who's the chief? Who's the executive chief of agitation on this planet at the moment, right? And what does that mean for all of the rest of us who are sitting in that energy? Instead, we should move that shock and that agitation into initiation of something new, where we're healing the breach, right? We're healing the breach here. This is bringing the two halves of the heart together. And we don't have anything sitting here at 25. You might in your own personal chart, but transiting, there's nothing going to be sitting at the gate 25 to help pull that together. So at least initially, Mars will be stirring that pot and agitating things and creating some anger and upset and turmoil. And then, it'll be up for us individuals to bring that turmoil into some form of universal love, sealing that breach between the heart chambers, the two different parts of the heart, and the heart and the soul, bringing them together. So the more that we focus on oneness, the more that we focus on peace, the more we focus on harmony, on this too shall pass kind of energies, the more we're able to seal that breach. But you know, a good chunk of the world is out there going crazy at the moment. They don't listen to me in the morning. They're not listening to other wise people out there in the world who are saying we can't keep on this way. So unfortunately, it's up to us individuals that are in that know to be able to make that change. So I just wanted to let you guys know about that, because it also leads us to Sunday's Mercury moving out of retrograde into his direct station, hanging there, so as it were, before he actually picks up some steam and is able to move forward again. And he'll be sitting docking, if you will, at 5 degrees of Cancer. So wherever that is in your personal chart is where things may come to a pause. Let me stop. And Mercury, by the way, is at the gate 52. So the gate 52 is down here. We also had the sun and sitting there a couple of weeks ago. And Mercury has been sitting here for an extended period of time, and he'll still be here for another week or so. And so we have this opportunity in the gate 52 to move from stress to restraint to stillness, right? So Mercury, stillness. I think it's interesting that he comes to a still point on Sunday at the gate of stillness. But at that same time that he stations direct, he will be in a square to both Chiron and Mars, who will be in a conjunction, or close enough, right? A bullet burn conjunction. So we have a lot of things that we need to understand about Mercury's retrograde cycle ending and how that affects us. So Mercury in Cancer squaring Mars and Chiron in Aries, right? So those three, if you bring them together in this instance, at this moment in time, feels like we have something to defend. It feels defensive even, or it can feel more protective. It can feel like we need to arm ourselves with something, right? With our masks, with our sanitizer, with our social distancing, all kinds of different things that we can. And it means we're also easily provoked during this period of time when these planets all come together this way. But on the high side, this also gives us the courage to change, to use our voices to be heard, to, you know, kind of raise the tenor of the voices out there that are calling for reasonableness, who are calling for a return to sanity, who are calling for us to really come together and work together to heal this issue, any of the issues that we're dealing with. But it makes us uber aware right now of what's not okay, right? Almost by contrast and comparison, right? If we know where it is we want to go, we can see where things are not okay right now and what we need to do. So here's a question for all of you. What have you learned over the past 3 weeks while Mercury has been in his retrograde phase, right? Where did you find your mind going? What did you find your mind focusing on? What kernels of experiences from the past were coming up? I think it's so funny that yesterday, in the midst of all of this, I bring up this very painful experience from my own past. And then after the show yesterday, I sort of sat with that, working through why did that show up, right? That there must be something that's still wounding to me there. But it was also very easy to move through it and release it when I realized that really I have pretty much detached from all of the emotion around that time. So that was really cool to see. It's also a part of the Chironic square here, where we're wounded. There's been a wound. It's likely from the past. And we've carried the wound part up to the now. And now we have this opportunity to release that wound. So we, you know, where is that newfound awareness leading you? Where are you going with this? What came up from your past that needs healing still? Right? That were you able to take care of the things that had been put in front of you during that retrograde, right? Sometimes something comes back to you and you're like, damn, I thought I was done with that. And you're not. So you have to finish it, right? So now that Mercury is coming to his station, right? The direct station, it should be very, very apparent to us that we can no longer live in the past, that we can't even change the past, right? It's a part of who we are. It's happened. So what we are left with is the idea of what is in this moment, right? The perfect now. And then we only have this one present moment. So what do we do with that moment? And how will we fill that moment? Are we going to fill it with disappointment? And are we going to fill it with conflict? Are we going to fill it with, you know, wishing for the past or wishing things were different? Or are we going to sit here in the now and do what we can with what we have? And another question then, at this very tender moment on Sunday, and even for the next couple of days after that, would be, where do you want to go now? Right now that Mercury is picking up steam, he'll move now all the way through till August 4th in Cancer, and then he'll be on to Leo energy. So what do you want to do now? Right? Are you happy with your current life? Are you happy with the way things are working in your life? Are you happy with your health? Are you happy with your work? Are you happy with your relationships? Because if you're not, this is a perfect time to get straight, right? To get moving forward in the right direction. And you know, that square, Mercury squaring both Mars and Chiron implies conflict, right? So when conflict becomes more than we can tolerate, it is a sure call that we need to change, we need to release, we need to evolve, right? So whatever it is that still kind of sticks in your craw, it's time to release that, to move on beyond all of that. So to change means to reduce that stress, right? The gate 52, where Mercury is, letting go of stress and moving into restraint and ultimately into stillness, right? Being at peace. I very much love all of this energy. So yeah, the weekend transits can be a little irritating. This is the last of the major irritations, even though I say that, and then I looked at next week and went, there's some subtle irritations going on next week. But we're in this together, right? We're creating this reality together. So we have to have the courage and the audacity and the hope and the optimism to move forward, right? To really claim what it is that we want, to see that things will get better, that we're not stuck in this old pattern, that we can actually navigate through some of these treacherous waters and come out safely at the other end. Now, there are going to be a couple of things that I think are worth our chatting about, and I'm just going to kind of briefly go down these, and then we're going to go do readings. So these are some of the things I want you to watch for over the next few weeks. One, how willing are you to process through your own pain and your own suffering and your own mind's, you know, psychosis? And or how willing are you to process through difficult news, through difficult times, through difficult situations? That's going to be a theme, right? 51 sometimes just that gate, it just brings up something that can be quite shocking. And I wish I knew what that was going to be, right? But I don't. But maybe it's personal and maybe it's not. We have a personal planet, Mercury engaged, personal Mars, and a societal or transpersonal Chiron. So I think it's going to play out in both worlds. Recognize the power of your voice, right? Recognize the power of your words. Remember, the North Node sits at the gate 15 and the South Node is sitting at the gate 10. The gate 10, when it meets up with a channel to the throat, can be using words as battle, as swords, right? As verbal gunslinging, we call it in human design speak. So watch for where it is you're being triggered by things that people say, and also watch what you're saying and how it might be, you know, hurting others inadvertently. I don't know that any one of us goes out to hurt people, but it's a possibility that what you say, you know, can be used inadvertently to hurt somebody. But words can also be healing and words can be soothing. So that's a focus, right? Mercury now moving forward in a very nurturing sign of Cancer can help us heal by words. Don't be afraid to speak up. Use your voice appropriately in the right way. When you're seeing something that's not right, speak to it, right? Don't be afraid to bring up difficult subjects, right? We can't keep hiding things in the back room and, you know, making them more taboo-ish that we don't want to speak about them. We have to bring it up. And speaking impulsively, right? Aries energy, right? Sometimes we just blurt, we say, it's fire energy. We are passionate. And that passion can sometimes turn into words that hurt. So we want to not speak from a place of anger. We want to be able to slow the process down so that we think first, then speak, then act, right? That we're not so impulsively saying hurtful things or doing things that are counterproductive or self-sabotaging or undermining of our own good. And the biggest thing I can say here is, you know, go slow, breathe, do yoga, do meditation, do things that support quietness, right? That support that coming to peace. Then when you have an opportunity to speak, you know, you're going to speak it with courage, conviction, with love and not anger, right? That's what we want, with consciousness and with an open heart. So That's a lot for one weekend, right? But it leads us to, this is sort of that gateway to energies that are going to happen later on here as we move into the fall. Okay, so right now I have Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. And Debbie, you didn't mention, I don't think you did anyway, what type of card reading you might want. So let me go back here and let's see, somebody out there, please jump in and say they would be willing to watch the card roll. I see Amy would like a card. I'm looking for an apartment this weekend. Okay, Debbie and J-Lo would like a dragon. Perfect. That's a perfect card for you, J-Lo. And Amanda J would like a card. Amanda. And my choice. I like my choice. Joshua would like a card. He says, me. And Jessica, a card, my choice. I should just have these little things. Joshua, do you have a preference? I have goddess. I have Mayan. I have wisdom of the oracle. I have dragons. I have spirit animals we could bring out too. I didn't bring them out, but we could certainly do that. And Jessica, what does that say? Card of my choice. Sorry, my eyes got blurry there for a minute. Amy, thank you very much. She says she'll watch the roll so I don't miss people. Natasha, dragon. And Joshua wants dragons. Okay, let's get our dragons on, shall we? You know, the dragons right now are very much our spiritual warriors. So I think when you have a lot of Aries energy, right, fire breathing dragons or whatever, they can be our spiritual warriors. So I think dragon cards are very appropriate. And Deb, Woto, and I've got Destiny Goddess. Did I put your name down here, Destiny? Not yet. So Destiny Goddess. Okay. So Amy, I'm going to have you watch, see if I've missed anybody. Right now, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. I'm going to draw you a goddess card. I started to go with Mayan, but somehow goddess popped into my mind. I'm going to switch over to, I won't see comments for a bit because I'm going to switch to Zoom where I can see the whole screen, make sure that the card is being shown in its prettiness. And, so for Debbie, you have Parvati and Parvati. I'm not sure how you say that actually. Card number 41, which is a 5. She speaks to devotion. Devotion. We have had her several times for different people at different times. But I don't know. I see patterns here, right? So there's a pattern of this card coming up. And remember, if you're not receiving a reading, like you're listening to this later or you're watching this later on YouTube, we are all interconnected. So the cards that come up for these individuals may have a specific meaning to them, but it is also being given to you as advice as well. And Debbie, the card was right side up. And in this deck, that means it's an empowerment message. And here we go. True commitment comes from wholehearted living in body, mind, and spirit. When the Hindu goddess Parvati rises up to greet you, she is acknowledging you for your sincere devotion to personal growth. With the world in so much turmoil, it's not easy to devote yourself to higher knowledge and a strong faith. But if you are to serve others by being a bearer of love, compassion, and light, you must recommit yourself every day as unwavering in your devotion as Parvati was to Shiva and her goal of bringing peace to the world. Parvati also asks that you find silence in daily meditation to contemplate your devotion as well as your commitment to all of life and to making this world a better place. The great goddess is present when you renew your devotion and make that relationship primary above all else. Then, in all areas of your life, your every choice will be in alignment and in service to this truth. When the goddess Parvati comes to visit, it is a beautiful sign that you are on the right track. Got it. Love that. All right, Debbie, that's what you got. Now, Amy, you are next. And Amy, did you tell me what card you wanted or did you say my choice? Got to go back a bit. Amy, I'm missing that. I don't see the comment. So let's see for Amy. Amy, I think I'm going to do a Mayan card for you. A Mayan oracle. Remember, these were deep and they were very much longer definitions. They were so profound, right? I really enjoyed reading those cards a couple weeks back when we did this. So Amy, this is for you. And we're not as familiar with this deck, so I can't really say that I'm an expert here, but ooh, how funny. One of the days today is Etznob, right? Today's that self-regulating day, and you get Etznob, right? It is, look how shiny it is. It's, you can see, what can I see in there, right? I can see everything in there. It is sort of a reminder that the, even though you also have obsidian, that is the knife available for cutting out the incorrect things, you also have Etznob as the representation of the mirror, right? The karmic mirror. So let's see here, Etznob. Sorry, this is going to take me longer because he is further back. He's before Kowayak. There he is. Okay. All right. And this is the qualities, Amy, of timelessness, discrimination, clarity, the Hall of Mirrors, spiritual warriorship. Not heard that one before. That's a good one. I've heard spiritual warrior, but the state of it, being a spiritual warrior, is spiritual warriorship. The Sword of Truth, facing shadow and integration of a paradox. Interesting. So, truth, call my name. I stand naked before you, stripped of illusion. Etznob offers you a special opportunity to journey into the Hall of Mirrors, to address a part of yourself that you may have been avoiding or have not seen clearly. See the unclear, the unacknowledged, the illusion of problems. This is your chance to see truth, to complete an unfinished lesson. Look into the mirror that reveals the unconscious and see the shadowy parts of yourself that show you what stands between yourself and the light. You are being given the gift of insight. Receiving Etznob is an affirmation of your courage in facing the unclear parts of self. What apparent problem, weakness, or perceived laws are you experiencing that you might address directly to find its gift? Use the world and other people as mirrors for your discovery process. Holding to your own fixed position helps keep situations from changing. Holding to your own fixed position keeps situations from changing. If you are holding a strong position, convinced that only you are right, free yourself to experience the power held in changing positions. Experiment with letting go or taking on another's viewpoint. Step into the other side of the mirror. Etznob guides you to a fluid position between the extremes of seeming polarities. To experience this position, mentally create a triangle of light by connecting yourself with two polarities. Then imagine yourself in the center of the triangle, the place of integration of the conflict or paradox, the place of fluidity. That's really awesome. If you have a concern or question, take time to receive fully the guidance held in this fluid center. There are no absolutes. The crack between the worlds is widening. You live in a time-space framework that is expanding so that separation can be healed and heaven and earth become one. Judgment and acceptance are opposite sides of the same mirror. Walk through the reflections into the greater reality. Love that. Wow, that really speaks right to what we've been talking about here this morning. Okay, J-Lo wanted a dragon. So let's get her a dragon, shall we? And it's been a while since I've had the cards all out. Forgot what a mess my desk gets in when I'm doing this. All right, J-Lo, you get Source Dragon. And the Source Dragon is attunes you to the infinite. Be still in the silence. Magic can happen. Be in the moment. Source Dragon. Look at him doing magic there. All right, let's see. Source Dragon. Remember, the dragons, they are in different dimensions. The Source Dragon is a ninth dimensional dragon, page 110. Okay, here we go. So where did he go? Here's the sword. I'm going to hold him up so you can see it while I read. Okay. In the center of all the dimensions, galaxies, and universes is an infinite point of pure stillness and love. This is the heart of Source, and from it flows the most incredible illumination. As the wishes of Source flow forth, the illumined angels, known as the Seraphim, sing Om, the vibration of master creation, at a 12th dimensional frequency. This allows the will of the Creator to spread as seed thoughts into the universe. Ooh, it sounds like something coming from the galactic center. Ninth dimensional transparent white Source dragons exist purely to attend to the divine will and turn wishes into reality. They step down the light to a ninth dimensional level so that we can access it. They act as portals of light through which we can connect with the energies of the infinite. Here's your guidance, J-Lo. A Source dragon has come to you now because it is time for you to enjoy a period of stillness with awareness. Breathe deeply and listen to the silence. Something very sacred is coming into your life. This could be anything from the fruition of a long-held dream to becoming a true master. It is being presented to you now. Be diligent, calm, and focused, and remember to breathe deeply. Breath is the key to being in the moment, and this is where the greatest magic happens. Ask the Source Dragon to accompany you on every step of your exciting new journey, and always remember that the present moment creates your future. Wow. Perfect. Just a perfect message. Amanda wanted my choice. For Amanda. I'm going to go with Goddess Amanda. Goddess Amanda, this card is for you. Amanda Jeffs, I believe. Amanda J. And Lilith, Independence, card number 29. Isn't she a beauty? Lilith, Independence, card 29, which is an 11, which speaks to enlightenment. It's a master number of the light, of becoming illumined. And she was right side up when I pulled her, so this will be an empowerment message for you. And 29, oops, past you. The Jewish goddess Lilith refused to be dominated by the first man, and as a result was called a demon in the stories about her that followed. These inaccurate and damaging stories are so old and repeated so often that no one recognizes how pervasive their implications are. From another perspective, Lilith offers this lesson. No one can prevent you from fully blooming, from learning all you can, from evolving and choosing freedom. Only your conditioned thinking can do that. Be proud, be accountable, claim your power, and hold it wisely. Right now, you are in an excellent position to attract healthy, interdependent, collaborative relationships that truly serve the highest good. Friendships flourish with mutual respect and rapport and support. Love relationships bloom with ample space for both parties to grow. Business ventures thrive in service to the greater good. The goddess Lilith wants to show you the way to claim a healthy self-worth and self-respect by refusing to let your old stories keep you down. You will be amazed at how deep, meaningful, and respectful your experience becomes in all areas of your life when you make choices from a place of empowered independence. I love it. And of course, Amanda, you and I are going to meet, I think it's next week sometime, and we will be able to look exactly at what your conditioned mind is doing as we take a look at your human design chart. Okay. And after Amanda, we had Joshua, and Joshua, he wanted a dragon card. So a dragon card you shall get. And the dragons, powerful spiritual warriors. Ooh, okay, this is the one. You get a water dragon, helps you flow easily around obstacles. Christ, light, and love are flowing. Develop your psychic abilities. Go with the flow. And here's your buddy. The green water dragon. Maybe he's green blue water dragon. Let's see what dimension he is helping us with. And water. Water dragon 24. Okay, so the water dragon. Fourth dimensional water dragons are a soft green color and very beautiful. They undulate with the flow around them and help everything to move forward with grace and tranquility. Their service work is to maintain the constant movement of Christ's light in the waters of our planet. They also help us develop our psychic abilities and intuition. Here's your guidance, Joshua. This message, or the message the elemental water dragons are bringing you, is to flow round your challenges with loving intent. If you ask them, they will help you look for an easy way to circumnavigate your challenge and to deal with people lovingly. To enable this to happen, they will help you to develop your intuition and psychic abilities by touching your third eye and allowing the petals of this psychic center to open. When you listen to your inner wisdom and trust that the water dragons will guide you, the course of your life will run more smoothly. Ask them to cleanse the cells of your body, for this will enable you to shine your light even more brightly. Then your guidance is to relax so that they can access your energy fields and pour the golden Christ light of pure, unconditional love into them. Consciously absorb this golden Christ light and flow with it. This will bring you love, wisdom, and healing, and enable you to travel effortlessly on your ascension path. It will also allow you to direct and help others with calm and integrity. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's a good one for all of us to remember too. Jessica. She said, my choice. And Jessica, I'm thinking Mayan for you, unless you have a different idea, which I won't know because I can't see the thing right now. I got to get these cards. There we go. Jessica. It's good to see you out there this morning. Even if I didn't know who you were at first. Hope everything's going well in your life. You get the card Keeb. Keeb is one of the day signs. And look at that. Isn't that, it looks almost like a shepherd's pole or a question mark, perhaps. Sounds like there's some wisdom here for you to get to. And let's look at Keeb. There's no easy, well, I guess there is a table of contents if I would look for it. Page 100. Sometimes I think I'm just going to find it on my own. Here we go. Keeb. And Keeb's qualities are grace, trust, inner voice of knowing, intuition, following inner guidance, galactic conduit, reception, mystic transmission, divine communication, cosmic consciousness, golden pillar, ferryman's staff, and interdimensional guides. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Here's your little poem. Voyager, hear the inner voice of your solar identity. Owl, messenger of the great central sun, soaring softly through the conduit of mystical transmission. Silently sound the golden nimbus of reunion. Receiving Keeb is an acknowledgement that you are already a dedicated journeyer on the path that unites heart and mind in devotion to the divine. Have you reached a point in your life where you want to know the answer to a profound question or yearning? Ask yourself simply, what is the truest desire of my heart in this moment? I am the song seeking the root of truth. Then, in stillness, claim your natural ability to commune with cosmic consciousness. Open to your natural inner voice of knowing, your intuition, to receive the inner guidance you seek. Instinct guides animals with the same natural ease that intuition guides human beings. Simply become silent and listen to it. Keeb, the mystic ferryman on the return path to the stars, offers you the gift of his staff as a connection point between the earth plane and the divine. The staff represents a conduit for communication with all that is. Open yourself to receive this great gift. Such transmissions are being offered to you through a process of grace, requiring no effort on your part. Simply focus on the staff as a metaphor of your inner truth. Plant it within yourself. Let it grow and bloom there like a flowering tree. Keeb also asks you to look at issues of trust. Do you trust in your ability to feel and allow clear guidance from spirit? Trust is your access code to divine guidance. Do you trust in others to find their own perfect path? Do you trust in your own gifts and abilities? Through trust, you are offered the gift of your mystical connection to cosmic consciousness. Claim it as your birthright. That's a pretty awesome message there, Jessica. Of course, I think they all are, right? They're all good messages. I don't know what I did with the cards. There they are. Okay, who's next is Natasha. By the way, tomorrow is Natasha's birthday. So everybody wish Natasha a very blessed solar return and surround her with love and blessings for her coming year. Natasha wanted a dragon card. I think that's a perfect card for you, as I've already looked ahead at your solar return chart. I could see that dragons might perfectly support you in the work you need to do this coming year, as you're breaking out of old patterns and old fears, and you are now the Omega Dragon. The Omega Dragon. Isn't that a beautiful card? And it says, harnesses the divine feminine power of creation. Intention, hold your vision, birth the higher consciousness. Right? That's the Omega Dragon. Let's read what that's about for you. And I would believe this is likely a ninth dimensional dragon, and indeed it is. Omega is page 108. We're getting some pretty powerful cards here today. I hope everybody's sensing that. Seemingly messages for all of us. About the dragon. The ninth dimensional Omega dragons carry the divine feminine vibrations of Shekinah, the universal energy that created our world. Shekinah is the feminine counterpart of Archangel Metatron's higher light and represents pure creative vision. These powerful beings are assisting the birth of higher consciousness on Earth. Collectively, they hold the vision for the new golden age, and this will enable us to achieve the intention set by Lady Gaia for the evolution of the planet. These beautiful silver-white dragons will also help us hold a personal vision for the highest good. Every wish starts with a thought that is translated into a picture. These dragons can see into our mind and will hold our vision with us. Here's your guidance, Natasha. When an Omega dragon comes to you, it is the time to give birth to a special new project, pathway, or aspect of yourself that has remained hidden. Call upon these dragons to fill you with the power of your divine feminine. This will enable you to hold your vision and bring it to fruition in a wise, balanced, and harmonious way. Most important of all, ask the Omega Dragon to look into the greatest desire of your soul and hold the vision of bringing it into manifestation. These dragons can be any shape or size, so just still your mind and give them permission to merge with your energy. Ask them to soften your path and the paths of all who hold the vision of the new golden age. Ha! Wonderful! That's a perfect birthday present, I think, message for you. Natasha. All right, Deborah Johnson, I believe, wanted a Wisdom of the Oracle. Another awesome deck. So Deb, this is for you. Deb also had a birthday, I can't recall now. Building blocks, Deb. You have building blocks. Sounds very Saturn. It is card number 28, which is a 10, which is a 1, right? Starting something new. Building. And it was right side up. So that is your message. It's not in protection. It is 28. Okay. Building blocks, essential meanings, strong foundations, a beautiful work in progress. And here's the message. You have everything you need to cultivate an extraordinary life. This is a time when your focus needs to be on the foundations you build upon. Your work, your relationships, and your very being are underwritten by your values, ethics, morals, and core beliefs. Are they still true for you? Will they stand the test of time and serve as the solid grounding upon which you construct your life? Now you are making changes that will affect everything in a positive way. Your destiny is truly a remarkable and beautiful design. And I'm going to go on to read the prosperity message for you. Just felt like I needed to do something else here. You have everything you need to turn iron into gold in the alchemical process of creating the prosperous life you desire. Now is the time to build on the strong foundation you have already laid for your prosperity. Keep in mind that these building blocks are imbued with the sparkling energy of your intentions. Own your dream and remember that you always have more than enough and you always are enough, so abundance is ever present. Your creativity is divinely inspired and the design for your life is taking shape in service to the world. You are meant for success. Can't fault that one. I think that's an excellent message too. All right. And after Deb, we had Destiny. And Destiny wanted a goddess card, who are sitting right here. And then I will check back and see if there's anybody I'm missing that Amy was keeping track for me. And we're after nine, I guess. Oh, gosh, this one is definitely for you. Hestia, home. She's so beautiful. Let's look at her, right? Hestia, card 21, which is a three, creative, home, Hestia. Goddess power. Here we go. Number 21. And she was upright, so she is in an empowerment message for you. And she says, being at home in your own skin is what the Greek goddess of the hearth, Hestia, offers you today. When you are in alignment with your truest self, it's like everything you do suddenly fits and feels right. Now is the time to also look into your domestic environment, making sure you are surrounded by beautiful things that have a special positive meaning for you. Cleaning, tending house, and taking care of simple things are what is called for now. Chop wood, carry water, that Zen proverb, right? The answers to the big questions come of their own accord when you're focused on the small tasks. The goddess Hestia reminds you that when you are at home in yourself, you are at home in the world. I think that's a pretty good message too. All right. So that was the last of the people I had on my list. Let me go take a quick look over here. Yes, you're very welcome, Natasha. Oh no, Mercury retrograde is messing with us. What do you mean? What's going on? Blessings for your birthday, July 30th. I knew it was coming. Allison and Jules, Valerie and Ursula. Allison and Jules want dragon. Okay, so let me write this down so I don't have to come back here. Allison and Jules want dragons. Dragons. And Valerie and Ursula. Val and Ursula. Any cards? Okay. So, Allison, dragon. Let's do this. Dragon card. For Allison. You have a lilac fire dragon, transmutes through the power of divine love. Open up to transcendent love and enlightenment. Purity of heart brings peace, hope, and joy. Whoa. And I don't think we've had this one yet, but look at that. Lilac fire dragon. Okay. Lilac fire dragon is a fifth dimensional dragon. And you'll like this. It's on page 44. So it's a double number. Must have a powerful message. Okay. Here we go. These dragons are fifth dimensional. However, they can reach up into the ninth dimension to access the awesome lilac fire of Source, which is a new energy recently graced to Earth. This carries transcendent love as well as enlightenment. When these dragons pour forth their lilac fire over and through us, we are bathed in divine feminine light, which has the power to dissolve all lower energies in pure love and to bring us peace, hope, and joy. It also bathes us in the higher divine feminine qualities of wisdom, agape, and oneness. Having this energy in our aura may even allow us to experience bliss and ecstasy. Here's your guidance, Allison. When you choose this card, a lilac fire dragon will touch you with incredible ninth dimensional light. So call it in and ask it to touch you. As it approaches you, breathe in divine love and sense the lilac fire enveloping you. This will enable you to let go of the old easily calmly and graciously. Notice particularly how you feel when this dragon touches you and sense the purity of the love that it radiates. Ask this dragon to remain with you to anchor the glorious light of the lilac fire and take you into a new and illumined way of being. When you do this, this love radiating from your heart will become purer and more beautiful. People will sense this and respond with trust, respect, and gratitude. Consciously work with this beautiful dragon and notice the difference it makes to your life and the quality of love around you. Wow. That's a pretty cool card. Sounds like you're breaking down something, maybe walls, so that you can allow more love energy in. And Jules, you also wanted a dragon card, so let's get to that for you. Hold on here. I don't want repeat cards if I don't need to. And I feel like I didn't get to. There, now we have it. Okay, you have an earth and fire dragon, works with you to clear the fifth dimensional ley lines. And it says, it is time for service. When you give, you receive. And here's your lovely earth and fire dragon. It's beautiful, beautiful card. And earth and fire, earth and fire. Okay, so earth and fire dragon. This is a card of service for the fourth dimensional brown and orange earth and fire dragons are called earth and fire. Okay, make sure I got the right one. This is a card of service for the fourth dimensional brown and orange earth and fire dragons are calling on us now to help them clear and light up the new ley lines of our beautiful planet. The original ley lines were called dragon lines, for they were maintained by the dragons of old. Now a new fifth dimensional ley line system is being placed into the earth to carry golden Christ energy and prepare the planet for the new golden age. The dragons of earth and fire move through these lines, creating a path of light through which the higher love frequencies can flow. Humbly invoke these dragons and have a sense of the power of the flaming orange fire combined with the grounding brown earth. Reach out a hand to touch the dragons, then visualize earth being crisscrossed with lines of golden light. Picture these dragons anchoring this golden Christ energy whenever there are sacred places on the globe, wherever there are sacred places on the globe. Mentally place a golden flame at each of these sacred portals until you sense our planet lighting up. Whenever you are out walking or driving, ask the magnificent earth and fire dragons to travel along the ley lines below you. Bring the Christ light down through you so they can distribute it where it is most needed. When you give, you receive. The earth and fire dragons will illuminate the challenges on your route ahead, and as soon as you have acknowledged them, they will dissolve them. This will smooth your path. It will also allow you to step lightly into your role as a master and as the new golden age approaches. Sounds like you and Joshua have some golden Christ energy here to plant on the planet for us right now. Very important jobs, I think, right? So abolishing or working better with all of those energies, the energy of the dark being sort of overcome by the light. Val and Ursula left it up to me. So Val, my eye keeps coming back here to the Woto deck for you. Wisdom of the Oracle, which, by the way, this is a deck that we've been using for a long time by Colette Baron Reed. Certainly, you know, all of these decks are available. You can buy them and use them for yourself at home and see how powerful they really are at all times. All right, so for you, Val, you got the card Regeneration. It looks like a lot changing perhaps in your life. Number 46, which does happen to be a 10, which then elevates to a 1. And it was in protection, so it was upside down. So let's take a look at what that means for you. 46. All right, so the essential meaning of the card Regeneration is, as you might expect, rebirth, second chances, and new opportunities. The protection message says, endings come in many forms, and now is the time to stop holding on to what must die so that something better can take its place. Nature's cycles include disease, decay, death, and regeneration. Let whatever isn't working in your life die. Don't be afraid to face the facts. There is no need to struggle or grieve. Whatever your query, let it go. You're almost ready to be, it says you're about to be reborn. I like it. Rebirth. And Ursula. Goddess. Ooh, that came pretty quickly. Goddess for you, Miss Ursula. And I was thinking in my mind that you needed the Mayan card, and then my eyes just kept traveling to the goddesses themselves. So that must be the appropriate deck for you. And what you get is interesting, because this is also a fixed star we've talked about recently, the goddess Metis or Metis. She's a goddess of wisdom, very similar to Pallas Athena, although not quite the same mythology. Card number 35, which is an 8. And what is that shining out of her forehead? Looks like maybe a phoenix? I'm not sure. Look at that. All right, so let's look at the goddess Metis or Metis. Number 35. And she was right side up for you. So that's an empowerment message. And it says, experience woven together with knowledge creates a beautiful thing, wisdom. Its parts are intertwined like a finely made rope that is so strong it can't be cut. Wisdom, once earned, becomes an essential part of you. Right now, the Greek goddess of wisdom, Metis, asks you to know exactly, no, the Greek goddess of wisdom says you know exactly what to do in your current circumstances. The real question is, do you have the courage and commitment to make a wise choice? Your answer is not to hide. You are being invited to look within rather than without. Take the wisdom you already have and apply it to your question. Perhaps, however, you must instead draw forth the humility to find someone wiser to weigh in. In this powerful time, others may seek you out for your wisdom. This is also an auspicious period when new relationships are founded on deep truths shared with others. You are entering a potent period of your life to share all that you are and all that you have learned. Extraordinary things are possible when the goddess Metis reminds you of your wisdom and the need to express it. Mm-hmm. The goddess Metis. Goodness gracious. Wow, I'm tapped out. That was a lot of readings, and I'm glad to do that. Glad we had the time this morning. So let's see, that resonates through and through. Everybody's looking like they liked their cards, and you are almost welcome. Lovely for us to have the time to share those things together. J-Lo says, wow, Natasha, that number was given to me last year also, 911 and 411. And then 1222 was given to me a little over 2 years. Now still not sure what or where they all fit in. So Natasha, I missed what number that you were given. I suppose you can tell me about that later when we're having our chat this afternoon. Okay. Well, that is it for me today, guys. I hope you all have a fabulous weekend. Remember, things are going to be a little tossed, a little turned. Don't go with the wounding, go with the healing, and remember to meter what it is that you say, run it through a field of breath first so that you're not, doing things or saying things that you might regret later. Much love to all of you. Have a wonderful weekend. See you on Monday. Bye for now.